down today. I'm joined in the studio by Sylvia Kent, who is a freelance columnist author. Her features have appeared in the national, regional magazines and online journals, and she's also been awarded the Freelance Writer of the Year. Her work has appeared in over 64 titles. Her book, The Woman Writer, is the history of the Society of Women Writers and Journalists, pioneers who made their mark in journalism, literature and poetry. She's also the Society's Vice President, and her 10th book, Barkin and Dagenham, From Old Photographs, is selling well. She's also a keen blogger and currently has her page at 284,000 page views. And our guest today is writer Brian Hughes, MBE, who is also a regular guest with Scott Ross. Brian is a consultant solicitor from Shenfield-based solicitors Rainer Hughes, and he's normally here with Scott.
Yes, good morning, Michelle.
It's lovely, and you've got such an interesting... I didn't even know this about you. Especially when, and we're going to be talking about Greece in a while because it's my favourite place in the world. It's just... I'd love to live there. If I could get a job there, that's the problem.
We'll arrange that for you.
Yeah, somebody can arrange that for me. And hello to Ollie as well, who's still joining us as well on Work Experience.
Oliver.
Yes. Now, we're joined by Sylvia, so we'll talk first about the Billericay readers.
Yes, the readers are going strongly. Lots of books ordered by the library, as you know. Lots of book clubs, they have to buy their books. We have them delivered. It's wonderful. And currently we're reading Edna O'Brien, Little Red Chairs, and One Hand Clapping by Richard Flanagan. And I'm not sure if I can manage that because I'm still reading Aldous Huxley's book, Brave New World, making a thing of it because there are lots of things there that I need to discuss. You know, it was a book that was on my list for years and never got round to it and have now. And although it's a little thin book, there's a lot in there, lots of thought there. So the other thing is Maggie Ford's book. Now, Maggie Ford, as you know, is Elizabeth Lord.
Yes.
And I brought her in last year.
Yeah.
And her latest book is... An East End Girl. And it's super. Mm. It really is. Usually I don't like that sort of thing. I like something with a bit of crime. But this really, I've just finished it. 500 pages, roughly 8.5 hours. Mm. You know, I have to do that because I have to read so many books as well as write them.
Yes.
So so that's going well. Brentwood Writers Circle is... it celebrated its 75th birthday, as you know. We've had our celebrations. Society of Women Writers and Journalists. Again, we are looking forward to our Christmas gathering in London, at Whitehall National Liberal Club. And we have Baroness Floella Benjamin, who's our new president. So lots going on there. Our archive group. Now, I'm so thrilled that Brian is here today because he's our chairman. And do you know what? He gets to those meetings swiftly. You know, once we used to sit there for 2 hours or so, Brian, we're out in an hour.
Yes.
So that's real efficiency. So I'm thrilled to bits. We had a history group. A gathering on the 7th, Brian.
Yes.
I couldn't attend.
Yes.
I think that went well, didn't it?
That went well, yes. We had a good turnout, and of organisations, that is, and some very interesting talks on all aspects of Old Billericay.
Yes. And also a quiz, very successful quiz on Saturday.
Yes, we held a quiz on Saturday night, and that went extremely well again. Unfortunately, there weren't quite as many people as we hoped, but nevertheless, it was good.
Mm. And Claire Morley organises that for us, so we're really happy. And I've known Brian for a long, long time as one of our top team in Billericay, smaller community than Brentwood, but doesn't it work well, Brian?
Yes. There is a nucleus of people within Billericay who really keep the town... rolling, keep it moving.
Mm. Yes. And of course our museum is going very well. We have meetings coming up.
That's the Cater Museum.
It is.
Yep.
But this is book club, and so I'm thrilled to bits that Brian is here today because his first book is soon to be published, I think.
We need to say Claire Buckle, who is meant to be here today.
Oh, Claire, yes.
She was meant to be here, it was scheduled, and Brian very kindly stepped in at the last minute. So we wish Claire well and hopefully
indeed.
She'll be back soon.
And hopefully she'll come in, say, January or February, if that's all right.
Yep, that'd be lovely.
And she's recovered. So over to Brian.
So Brian Hughes, MBE.
Well, you don't have to emphasise that.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's absolutely wonderful to have a title. I think it's fabulous.
Have we had a titled person here before?
One other person. But I would, if it was me, I would use it all the time.
Yes.
So I know that you're a consultant solicitor for the Shenfield-based solicitors, Rayner Hughes, and you do come in to chat to Scott Ross.
Yes.
But you've had a colourful life. You've lived in Essex for most of your life. So where did you initially... Did you grow up in Essex or have you moved from elsewhere?
Well, funny enough, I was born in a council house in Dagenham, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then from there we moved to Hornchurch before the war. My father decided that the war was imminent and very sensibly got a job in the Midlands, in Kettering in Northamptonshire. And at the age of 3.5, we all moved to Kettering. Immediately after the war, he was born in Lee on Sea and wanted to come back to this part of the world. And he got himself a job as assistant town clerk to Billericay Urban District Council. From that point on, we settled in Billericay from 1947. My parents bought a plot in Norsey Road, Billericay, for £200. And quite frankly... if you go down Norsey Road now, it's horrendous.
Yeah. I'm smiling. We're talking £1 million, £2 million towards
plot.
The end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, my parents, my mother sold up before they appreciated in value. But nevertheless, that's where we lived from 1947. I went to Brentwood School and was the naughty boy of the school at first. In fact, I ran a very successful dinky toy dealership.
Business.
Well, you know, how else is a 12-year-old to make an honest living? Yeah. That's sort of the way I looked at it. And the school decided that I wasn't really working very hard and said, if you don't buck up your ideas, you're out. So I came fifth the next term, after being 29th out of 30 the previous term. And went on from there. National service, I went into the army, obviously.
Yeah.
National service was interesting. I turned down a commission. I did it because I wanted to be in the Royal Artillery. And they said, we can offer you a commission in an infantry regiment, but not in the Royal Artillery. And I thought, well, I'm going to be master of my own destiny and fate. Went to Edinburgh, finished up as... a bombardier, which is two stripes, and did guard duty at the barracks and at Edinburgh Castle, and that's all in the book. Then I decided that this was getting a bit tedious, spending a couple of nights a week doing guard duty, and I went to the CO and told him I could speak fluent modern Greek, which was an absolute lie. and before I knew it, I was... I was at Chester on an intelligence course, and I asked everyone on the course whether they wanted to go to Cyprus, because I volunteered for Cyprus. And they said, no, we don't want to go. You know, we are quite happy where we are. So I got myself out to Cyprus and attached to military intelligence. And from there I worked with a chappie called Jim Herlihy, who was an ex-special branch, an ex Special Boat Service member, SBS, and he had been a protection officer to the Duke of Edinburgh. He was a real hard nut, and we went off into the mountains trying to track down terrorists. Then, of course, back to Cambridge. Very interesting time at Cambridge. Working in the city after that, decided that I wasn't going to make it as a partner in a firm of stockbrokers, and decided to become a lawyer. And in 1961, I took articles and qualified as a lawyer in 1965. At the same time, however, I had been running a very successful travel business.
Yes, yes.
And I opened Shenfield Travel Bureau in 1968 and sold that out in the late 1990s. And, of course, I sent roughly 15,000 students to Greece on my various parties.
Yep.
I also set up a company called Hughes Overland, which became a trek company, the fourth largest in the UK at the time. And we wondered what to do with all our buses at the end of the summer season. And my manager said, why don't we send them somewhere a long way away? What about Kathmandu?
I love it.
So I said, that's a good idea. I'd be able to get my car on the drive if you do that. And so we started organising a minibus service from Billericay to Kathmandu, and I think I can honestly say that I'm the one and only person ever to have done that.
Wow. Now, we're going to take a very short break and play some ads, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk more to Brian about the book and some of the other chapters, because you've had such an interesting life, and you've packed so much in to your time here on this planet, and you're still packing stuff in, actually. Mm. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to mention, who I always mention with Sylvia Kent, Dudley Moore, but we'll tell you more about that in a little while, because he is one of my heroes, an amazing musician. People think he's just a comedian, the actor, but musicianship, absolutely fantastic. So we'll be talking about him as well. It's just coming up to 11:40. We've got some ads coming up and a little bit of traffic and travel, and then I'll be back with Sylvia and Brian. And you still okay over there, Ollie?
I'm well, yeah.
There, Ollie's still there. We're back with Ollie as well.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Chapters, but have you got the name for the book yet? Have you got the title?
Well, I have a name in mind, yes, and I'll come out with that fairly shortly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's basically, this is a book of your life, and because you've had such an interesting life, people have said to you, you must get it down on paper.
Yes, what happened was that over the years, people have come up to me and said, Brian, you know, you've done some very interesting things, why don't you write them down? And at a dinner about 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, a young lady called Ella Watson from Brentwood School said to me, look, you know, you keep talking about her, obviously, why didn't you do something about it? So I said, you're right, Ella, I'll do it. And I sat down at the beginning of this year and started writing it. And I was actually quite surprised at how much there was. But I've done all sorts of things, and, you know, I've ghosts and haunted beds and haunted houses and all that sort of stuff.
Ghosties.
Yeah, yes. we want to talk about that in a second, but I have to ask you, Dudley Moore, as I always say to Sylvia, is one of my heroes when I was a young girl. I mean, he would have been a lot older then than I was, obviously, but I because he played the piano so beautifully. I used to walk past his house in Dagenham because I went to school there. And that's where Dudley Moore used to live, and he was just a fantastic from the very early days of comedy, because it changed direction of the comedy. With the it was with Peter Cook and I've forgotten the other two gentlemen's names, and I should do, but they were
Jonathan Miller,
that was it.
And Alan Bennett.
And they did some amazing comedy, which was The Fringe, which ran over in the UK and then went over to America, and it completely changed the whole comedy from
perspective. Comedy,
But he was such a, people forget, although they remember the films, he was such an accomplished musician, and he won a scholarship.
Yes, indeed, to Magdalen College, Oxford. Yes.
So how do you know Dudley?
Well, he's my cousin.
Yes.
My father and his mother, a brother and sister, were brother and sister.
Yeah.
And yes, we saw Dudley every so often, and we got invites to his weddings and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And of course I went to the States to see him there on about three occasions. So yes, I knew Dudley, and of course he was at Oxford when I was at Cambridge.
Yes.
And so we had sort of parallel paths there.
Yeah.
Yes, but he was quite a character, and I just said that I asked him on one occasion in the States why he didn't concentrate on his music. He was a brilliant musician.
Yeah.
And he said, Brian, I'm afraid to say I make more money out of films, and I've got three sets of alimony to pay.
Yes. Needed to earn. I mean, he was a wonderful jazz player, wasn't he?
He was extraordinary, yes.
Amazing.
And he had a great sense of humour, obviously, as is evident.
Yeah.
He was a member of the family. Got lots of other...
Have you got photographs you can use for this book? Because, as we discussed a little earlier, books do very well with some good photos, don't they?
I've got a nice photo of Dudley and Patrick, his son, and my two children on the beach at Venice.
Wonderful.
Los Angeles.
Lovely. Yes. What great memories. Now, we're going to move on because we want to talk about the book. Now, ghosts.
Yeah.
Because that's another subject I'm absolutely fascinated
at this time of year.
Is this something that you've experienced?
Oh, absolutely.
Right,
yes, absolutely. I bought a bed from an auction sale in Clare, and it's all in the book, but I bought it because my Greek partner used to come over every November to stay with us, and we'd go through the books. because we ran a travel outfit in Athens. Mm. And the lady who had died in the bed took exception to my Greek partner, Babis. And poor Babis suffered rather horrendously at her hands. Oh, yes. And in the end, I rang up the vicar and said, look, we're going to
exercise.
David, would you come and exercise this bed? And he said, well, Brian, there's an awful lot of psychic phenomena in paranormal phenomena in Billericay at the moment. I'll come if necessary. So I went to the bottom of the staircase and shouted up the staircase to Miss Clements, who died in the bed, and I said, look, Miss Clements, if we have any more nonsense out of you, you know, I'm just going to have you exorcised. Mm. And I'm afraid to say my Greek friend left almost immediately thereafter because he thought I was mad. and went back to Athens.
And did anything happen again?
And in fact, I thought I'd try out the bed a few weeks later when the Rotary Club, of which I was a member, had a Commonwealth Students' Weekend. And I had a very nice Indian boy who came to stay, and we discussed poetry and we discussed art. Very intellectual, very nice evening. He was so charming. And I said to him, I've got a lovely bed for you to sleep in tonight. And I kept my fingers crossed. And the next morning he came down and I said, did you sleep all right? And he said, I had a wonderful night's sleep. So the lady who died in the bed was happy. But she did actually, for example, put water in Babis's suitcase, absolutely flooded his suitcase. And I've still got the watermarks on a pine chest in the bedroom.
That's strange.
Yes. And then, of course, I had the haunted house, which I live in. Mm. And there, a lady, a maid, obviously died in the house, and she was worried about people falling down the stairs. And she, in fact, watched people walking down this very steep flight of stairs, and in the end I cottoned on to what it was, and I had the stairs altered. Mm. And she left me a present, and that is in the book.
Oh, we'll have to read the book to find out. So have you actually seen, or is it just
I sense them? Right. I sense them, yeah. And yes, I sense them.
Yeah, with Halloween coming up.
Yes,
well, it's tomorrow.
Yes, it is.
Now, amateur dramatics. I didn't know you did this as well. You've done so much.
Yeah, he has. I was surprised.
Lots of plays.
Yes,
lots and lots of plays.
What's your favourite?
Favourite. Well, I love doing Noel Coward or George Bernard Shaw plays.
Yes.
Yes. And one of my favourite ones was The Idiot Major in Nude with Violin. But I've done Sir Richard Rich in A Man for All Seasons, for example. Mm. I've done lots of George Bernard Shaw plays, Tom Stoppard, and so on.
And what keeps you passionate? Because you keep going, you keep just going. Have you always been driven? I mean, you said you had the dinky toys and you know, have you just got that drive and that zest for life? Because some people just kind of, you know, drift through life and do bits and pieces, but you just seem to have packed in so much.
Yes, I have packed in a lot. But on the other hand, my late wife packed in a lot as well. She was 17 years younger than me.
Yeah.
But When we got married, we went off to France. She said, I don't want to be married to a boring old solicitor. So I said, OK, what do you want to do? She said, I'd rather like to run a finishing school in France. And I said, well, they do them in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, we'll make it different. So I finished up with her buying a Maison du Maître, which is a house of the master, with accommodation for 42 people.
Yep.
We never filled it. But nevertheless, that was a very interesting experience. And as a result of that, she got an interest in psychology. We both got an interest in mediation, family mediation. So when that foundered, and it foundered because I was a member of Lloyd's of London and lost my shirt, when that foundered, we both came back to England, and I decided to go back into the law. She decided to become a psychologist. Mm. And she finished up from being an estate agent or salesperson for an estate agent to a consultant psychologist and a director of education training and workforce development for her trust, 3,300 people.
Gosh.
She was an extraordinary woman, and I've put a chapter in the book on her.
Oh, you have that? That's good.
Yes.
I look forward to meeting.
How did you first meet, if you don't mind me asking? Because it's funny that you've both got that passion.
Yes.
And if you hadn't have met, maybe your life would have gone off in a different, completely different direction.
Another road.
Well, yes. I was up in Scotland on holiday, and I saw a sign in a window saying solicitor and estate agent. And I thought to myself, why can't solicitors be estate agents as well in this country, in England? And I came back down to England. I went to a place called Langley's, a firm called Langley's in Lincoln, where they were trying to do that. And I thought, this is a jolly good idea. Came back to Billericay and thought, I need a manager for this. And I'd heard that Annette Talbot at Edward Charles was very good. And I approached her and said, would you like to become manager of a solicitor's property department? And she said yes. She had come back from Canada, and where she was in the process of divorce. And after we got on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
And we opened this solicitor's property department. And after about 18 months, I said, look, I'm older than you. Quite a lot older, but we do seem to be very much of the same mind. You know, what about it? And she said, yes, fine. She had three children. Mm-hmm. I had two. We were the only couple I can think of who went on honeymoon with five children. And, yes, that was interesting.
Yeah.
But after that, she said to me that we ought to use our lives. We ought not. I shouldn't just sit in Billericay as a solicitor. I should do some other things. And I could see that she was young. She was only 33 at the time. And that she wanted to experience other things. So that's what we did. I sold the practice. We went to France. And she ran the college. She became the directrice. Learned fluent French. Unfortunately, as I say, Lloyd's intervened. And when we came back to England, we decided to pursue our careers again. Or she wanted to become a psychologist, and I carried on in the law. But while we were in France, I carried on working for the Law Society as what they call an intervening agent. I was sorting out the baddies, and I did 16 interventions while I was doing that. Because I could go down to France 1 week in every three and spend a week with her. While she was running the college.
Yeah.
She was an interesting, remarkable person.
I love that you say that about that. So lovely and refreshing to hear somebody talk about their partner like that. You don't hear it enough these days that people actually, you know, idolise and say how fantastic somebody was. And that's amazing. And you've got all those wonderful memories as
She's got the memories.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yes,
and
indeed.
They're going into
and they're
the
going
book.
In the book. So when is the book actually going to be finished, Brian?
I work 4 days a week for Raina Hughes. And they keep chucking work at me, and I keep saying to them, look, I'm really coming up to 82 in a few weeks' time.
You're not.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my Lord. Well, you look very well. I just think, if you just, wouldn't you just say, wow? I would never think you are 82.
I'm coming up to 82 in just over 2 months. So I've said to them, look, you know, give me a break.
Let me sit forward.
I'm not going to take on much work after
Fountain
my 82nd birthday. I want to get this book done. And I've also got another book on the stocks. Because being very inquisitive, I decided to get myself regressed. Do you know what regression is?
Yep.
Yes, I was taken back into somebody else's previous life. I'm not saying it was mine, because I can't see any connection. But that, again, was a very interesting experience, and I could write a complete book on that. And funnily enough, when you are regressed, you can remember everything about the previous life. And, yes, and, for example, it's quite significant that one of the things that I remember from the previous life was women's buckled shoes.
I've just bought a pair with big buckles.
Funny enough, I saw exactly the pair at the V&A in an exhibition of 18th century shoes. And I thought, those are the shoes that I remember from that life. So that's going to be, if I can do it, I'll write the book on that. I realise that being 82, I've probably got 5 years, 5 years probable, 10 years possible, 15 years gaga.
Well, I'm interviewing someone who's 106.
The chances of making 100 are pretty remote.
106, yes.
But you look. I'm quite shocked by that. Yeah. And I know that our work experience, he was saying earlier, he didn't want
how
to get
old are
older.
You?
How old are you?
I'm 17.
Well, there we are.
There
you've got plenty of time.
Plenty of time to live a fantastic life. Well, hopefully you'll come back in when the book's actually...
Yes, I will. Yes,
book's
with pleasure.
Brian, because we'd love to have you back in. An interesting life. So thank you very much. That's Brian Hughes, MBE. If I had it, I'd use it all the time.
I would.
If you want to find out more about Sylvia, she's got a great blog, which is sylviakent.blogspot.co.uk, and you'll find this interview will be up online a little bit later. And, if you do need any... also, we must say... Rainey Hughes, check them out on the website. Brian is a consultant solicitor for the Shenfield-based solicitor, so if you do need any help in that department, and also it is coming up to Wills Month as well, so if you haven't done a will, November, it's the whole month of
November.
That's
right.
Yep.
That's right.
So, and it's very important. If you haven't got a will, please make sure, because that's the last thing you want to worry about.
There we go.
That's a nice cheerful subject to end on.
Laugh and be merry.
So thank you very much to Brian. Thank you very much to
Sylvia. Thank you for having us. We've enjoyed it.
I love that. And also, I have to say, Calimera.
Calimera.
Yes. There we go. That's good morning. Yes. And I can say, Ena Bira Paracalo. One beer, please. So I do know a little bit.
You learn a bit.
Escalista.
Oh, Oliver.
the things you have to learn, you see. Yes. Ollie, maybe you'll be going trekking all around the world, do you?
Yes.
Yeah, so maybe you'll escape.
Not to ask for beers, that's
right. So what is coming up?